Mr. Speaker, may I have your protection, Mr. Speaker?
Hold up, please, so we can hear the other.
Speaker, standing to speak after 2.5 lawyers makes me feel like a judge. But I will not pass voting on the deliberations that have gone past. But I must, Mr. Speaker, disagree with the last speaker when he interpreted the Governor General's speech in his own way. But, Mr. Speaker, loneliness is a sad sickness, and sometimes it does things to your mind. I know, I have stood alone in this house before, and that makes me a good judge of the interpretation that I made of what came from the last speaker. Mr. Speaker, some 32 years ago, I entered this house. Having done that, I have stood before a variety of speakers in this honorable house, some of whom I feel have had stormy experiences, and others who were more fortunate to go through their paces unscathed. God has blessed you, Mr. Speaker, and given you the wherewithal to handle the ticklish situations. So let me wish you smooth sailing in this controversial budget debate today. There are times when you are mesmerized by trying to determine who is who. There were times when you didn't recognize who was the leader of the opposition among the four members here. Even on occasions when I had to sit in your seat, Mr. Speaker, at brief moments, it proved very challenging to control the proceedings from your seat and decide on what to challenge and what to let go by. You have done fairly well, Mr. Speaker. However, for one reason or another, I have a feeling that this crucial budget debate will be very focused on the plans and strategies of fellow individual members of this honorable house. As we deliberate, the valuable content of this $1,121,460,000 a bundle of blessings for our people of South Castries and St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, those who remember the past with a clear conscience need not fear the future. So I say to my people of South Castries that they should be bold in what they stand for and careful in what they fall for. In an effort to clear the crowded minds of St. Lucians, I repeat that God provides life, my ministry provides health, you, the people of South Castries, provide support. And this is a foolproof recipe for top quality representation. However, nothing lasts forever, Mr. Speaker. And if perchance this recipe splinters, I can always look back with a clear conscience and pledge my total commitment to any other recipe of the people's choice for the continued well-being and improvement of South Castries. But it must come from the people of South Castries, not a handful of persons who may not know in what direction they move. My sole concern, Mr. Speaker, is for me not to look like a turncoat who showed no appreciation for the decades of love and good life shared with my family of South Castries, and turn my back on my people. But be the matter what it may, only death can break the family bond between South Castries and myself. Mr. Speaker, when the Honorable George F.L. Charles decided, well, in 1974, to consider whether he was leaving or not, the people of South Castries came to me and asked me to go up for that seat. I told them, let us make a journey to Mr. Charles together and have a discussion that we did. Mr. Charles then went out to his people and was convinced that his time was up. And he called me and said, where was it? And that I have done. So to you people of South Castries, I say, your wish is my command. If the red light will assure you, clean I come, clean I will go. Unlike the past speaker, Mr. Speaker, I have a lot to deal with in my Ministry of Health. I want to look at the theme, health sector reform, moving towards quality health and social services. Mr. Speaker, the main objective of my ministry is to provide all individuals with the ability to achieve maximum quality of life. My specific portfolio seeks to ensure the well-being of all St. Lucians. We are all aware that social and economic challenges are impacting on government sectors and households. The social changes being experienced in this country revolves around the ability of persons to provide and care for themselves and their families. A tough job. The people and the vulnerable ones among them are the most affected group in this society. Those are the children, the elderly, and the women. Those people come very often to our social services agency for assistance, Mr. Speaker. This government is committed to improving the lives of the poor and the vulnerable of this nation. With a budget of $4,047,000, we will work it. Mr. Speaker, in the new financial year, our main focus is to improve the quality of care offered to persons in need of social assistance. We will do this by, one, improving access to the essential services in the ministry, by providing safer environments for the development of children and families in difficult circumstances, by protecting the rights and enhancing the status of vulnerable individuals and groups, again, women, children, elderly, and disabled persons, by providing appropriate clinical interventions and support and counseling services to individuals, children, and families experiencing social and domestic problems, Mr. Speaker. A very rampant thing in St. Lucia, domestic problems at this stage. We also will be improving access to better quality residential care. We also look into reducing exclusion and encouraging empowerment. That is very necessary. We'll be improving and monitoring the conditions. We will be looking at all drug demand and drug supply related activities in St. Lucia. We have to look at the status of our children, Mr. Speaker. And allow me to present a brief picture of the situation of the vulnerable group in St. Lucia called children. Of much concern to my Ministry of Health is the rising incidence of child abuse. Yes, Mr. Speaker, child abuse. Substance abuse and domestic violence. These conditions continue to negatively impact on children and on families and rob our citizens of their dignity, their self-worth, and their inner peace. in the Division of Human Services, ignorance and poor human life practices keep our workloads at a pace too fast to handle. In some cases, linger and worsen for the shortage of human resources to deal with the rapid rate of human decay. Incest is commonplace in many ghetto areas around St. Lucia. My family caseworker in the south is out of the west to deal with cases under her jurisdiction. I very much agree with the member that it's not only ghettos, but we have a profusion of that behavior in Bruceville, Shantytown. The officers in the Castries area find difficulty to cope with the truants, the street children, yes, street children, in Fulasho and in Tubuis. Fulasho and Tubuis. The startling revelation of the 75 murders of young people between 12 and 18 years old recorded last year paints a vivid picture of the state of exasperation which confronts the police officers. When the Prime Minister decides to get help for them, I think we must commend that. The parents are themselves in need of counsel and advice, but often they are too guilty and too burdened to be of any help in correcting the delinquent children of St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, children are being bearing children, and the rumor that there are more abortions than births in this paradise tells a sad story. The strip clubs and the internet is supplied fodder for the plague of youth decay. Too many parents take pride in showing off their children's BET education as the kids gyrate in vulgar Black American fashion, which they learn from the television. The sorry influx of shaggy clothing and tattoos over their body en route to unspeakable parts of their body. Even though health educators warn of possible HIV and cancer from these needles, they don't care, they go ahead and mark their bodies. It is imperative that the dialogue, the education, and the better practices become strengthened between our people and our educators to save our people of St. Lucia. We are bombarded with the problems of young females mainly, whose hormone presence presents strange situations, which move parents and relatives to anger. The reaction to such anger often results in physical and psychological damage to the girls, and times from both their relatives and their male partners. Expulsion from homes or houses that is rampant, and in the absence of a crisis center, which Mrs. Irving the Ford once managed, or a home for the endangered girls. Yes, the Upton Gardens is there, but it's only a transit home and a daycare. The girls are placed at risk to the male predators who exploit the situation, impregnate them, before releasing them back to the streets. How are Mrs. Speaker? Our children are the future of our society. It is our responsibility to provide safe and secure environments in which they can develop and attain their full potential, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, our evidence demonstrates rising cases in the abuse and neglect of our children. Many of our children are not safe in their own homes or in their community. In the last financial year, the Division of Human Services and Family Affairs recorded a total of 1,106 cases, which shows an increase of 6.2% over the number of cases in the previous year. There were a total of 320 cases of child abuse and neglect, which represents 29% of the overall caseload. Cases of child maintenance followed closely at 28%, Mr. Speaker. The division also dealt with a significant number of cases involving children with behavioral problems and individuals and families experiencing domestic and social problems. The factors which have contributed to child abuse and neglect include poverty, poor parenting skills, especially among young parents, family dysfunction and crises, physical and mental illnesses, substance abuse, a history of child abuse and overcrowding in the household, inadequate adult supervision, migration of parents to the United States of America, to Canada, and even to our neighboring island of Martinique poses a problem. Apart from the aforementioned situations, there are new concerns for the children of HIV/AIDS-infected persons, and those children who have themselves contracted the disease. Given the stigma associated with HIV/AIDS, there is a grave risk of such children being further neglected and abandoned, especially after the death of their parents or their primary caregivers. In spite of very limited resources, the division has made significant strides in ensuring that vulnerable groups, especially our children, women, that they receive the necessary support to cope with it and recover from negative and traumatic experiences. The division has had some education campaigns to sensitize members of the society to the consequences of child abuse and the need for greater collaboration in its prevention. There have also been special training workshops in child abuse management targeting principals, teachers, counselors, health and care practitioners, media workers, religious leaders, and community service workers through the entire island of St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to highlight some other achievements realized during the financial year under this review. The development of a draft protocol for the prevention, reporting, investigation, and management of child abuse and child neglect. The division has conducted a number of national consultations to review the draft protocol, and the final document will be presented to the Cabinet of Ministers for adoption and implementation by all agencies involved in child care and protection. This protocol clearly outlines the roles and responsibilities of practitioners in the field so as to ensure better management and more positive outcome for our children, Mr. Speaker. The OECS legislative reform. St. Lucia participated in the OECS Domestic Violence and Family Law Report project. This project, Mr. Speaker, was intended to examine policies and legislations relating to children and families to determine to what extent they were appropriate or deficient and not reflective of the realities on the ground in St. Lucia. Consequent upon 3 years of research and national consultations in the participating islands, legislation has now been drafted and is being reviewed for presentation to the Attorneys General of participating territories for their approval. Included are the bills of status of children, child care and protection, adoption, domestic violence, juvenile justice, and family court. The child care and protection legislation has provisions similar to those of the Division Protocol for the Management of Child Abuse, which calls for mandatory reporting to all suspected and actual cases of child abuse. Yes, Mr. Speaker, mandatory reporting of all suspected and actual cases of child abuse, and also stronger sanctions for perpetrators and those aiding and abetting. In addition, the legislation will provide the Division of Human Services and Family Affairs with a broader mandate in the management of child abuse. When enacted, this legislation will do much to curb incidents of violence against children and result in the improvement of the overall management of child abuse and child neglect. We have a child vulnerability study, Mr. Speaker, recognizing the importance of research in designing policies and planning social interventions, said Lucia had to participate in the Child Vulnerability Study, a UNICEF-sponsored project which was also conducted in Barbados, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. That study, Mr. Speaker, sought to provide an insight into the status of children, looking specifically at the extent to which they were vulnerable due to various factors, including family structure, parental migration, poverty, unemployment, illness, parental capacity, child labor, child abuse, sexual activity, HIV/AIDS, disabilities, access barriers to social services. The findings revealed that children are indeed very vulnerable in St. Lucia, especially in the area of child protection and poverty. For jobs, Mr. Speaker. Foster care and adoption programs. The foster care and adoption program, considered to be a child protection intervention, is expected to be strengthened this year and to provide support to the transit home. Already during the past year, the program received a shot in the arm by way of the increased financial support to foster carers and the provision of medical exemption cards for the foster children. Mr. Speaker, the situation with foster children is crucial in St. Lucia. Some of them are treated very badly, others escape. In addition, the division has developed a foster care and adoption manual to provide guidelines and procedures for administering the program and to assist workers in achieving more positive outcomes for children and families. A transit home for children, Mr. Speaker, while the ministry is pleased with the accomplishments made, the division is still faced with a major challenge of finding places of safety for children who are at risk, or children who have been neglected and abused and consequently need of care and protection. While every effort must be made to encourage positive behavioral change and responsible parenting, the situation regarding the increased number of children at risk of abuse and neglect requires the establishment of places of safety for those children. Mr. Speaker, it is very interesting that those children go from homes to homes and other homes because the parental guidance is not properly prepared. It will be necessary to have them removed from abusive and dysfunctional environments. Mr. Speaker, to this end, we have identified a property for the establishment of transit home for children. We expect to commission a home for children by the end of this year, 2006. Further achievements were made in improving our capacity to deliver quality care to our clients. The improvements include, one, appointment of the senior field officer worker, which has strengthened case practice and management very much in our social services. The appointment of a family case worker to provide much needed child and family services, especially in places like Soufrière and Choiseul. This region has been without these services for about 2 years. One family case worker benefited from traveling all the way to Israel. This training opportunity has provided the division with additional expertise in developing appropriate programs for victims of abuse and engaging in more effective interventions as to achieve better outcomes. Mr. Speaker, after growing up, you grow old. And you look at the status of older persons. In the area of family affairs, the elderly are being neglected by their families. And our older folk decay as quickly as their old plywood huts. Often the grandchildren pray for the death of their grandparents so that they could inherit the house in which they live. The boost achieved from organized activities for older persons is commendable, as Radio Man Hilaire hails them upon early mornings with his radio program. And the mothers and fathers groups organize their country and western dances to keep the elderly active and able. The rate of rejuvenation supplied by these activities is commendable. Mr. Speaker, it is so nice sometimes to watch when the elderly people, 80 and 70 years old, are going to a celebration, Mr. Speaker. They come out of the buses going to the church and their joints are creaking and they're bawling, "Aye, woy, jamla, junumwe." By the time they get over the mass and they get into the hall of celebration, they boogie down with no noise at all. No juno, no knee, no nothing. Quite a therapy. Well, we will have him if he comes. Even more praiseworthy are the homes supplied for the elderly by our ministry and the senior games by the Help Aid St. Lucia of and for older persons. Very well organized by stars like Mrs. Helen Charles and Mrs. Lucy Gasper with their crew. You will all remember the recent race of the ministers. You will all remember who placed first and who did not place. Older persons who never left the shores of St. Lucia before can now relate to their grandchildren how many gold medals they have won in Barbados and in other neighboring countries in Ireland. The elderly now experience the salvation of having been extracted from the dump heap of human decay unto the glamour and glory of television cameras when they perform on the playing field here and abroad. But, Mr. Speaker, the demographic characteristics of the aging population in St. Lucia necessitates change in policy direction indicative of the need to better provide a supportive and enabling environment to all persons, agencies, and institutions who are involved in the care of older persons. There is an urgent need to promote best practices in the care of older persons, as well as the development of standards and the legislative and regulatory framework of quality assurance for our older people. The data for St. Lucia is quite revealing. Approximately 10% of our population is over 60 years old. And by the year 2025, it is expected to increase to 16.5% of the population. Life expectancy at birth has increased to 71 years for males and 77 years for females. Therefore, the population and housing census of 1991 and 2002 reveal a 1.3% increase in older persons over a 10-year period. The census also reveals that the number of persons aged 80 years and over has almost doubled since 1991. From 1,738 to 3,189 in the year 2001. According to the National Health Strategic Plan 2006 to 2011, the population of St. Lucia is still young, but with increasing life expectancy at birth, the lower fertility rates, the proportion of the older groups in the total population will continue to increase. The current barrel-shaped pyramid structure is gradually transforming as a result of the aging of our population. Studies conducted in St. Lucia on factors affecting old persons reveal that many old persons have bad experiences. They experience isolation, loneliness, like some of our friends, neglect, rejection, like others, inactivity, lack of access to medical services, daycare, and residential facilities. Older persons have limited access to the supermarkets, banking facilities, shops, government services, as well as an access of a reliable, well-coordinated transportation system. They also need some sporting and recreational facilities because we have proved quite clearly that our older people have a lot in them that they could still offer. achievement for the year includes a total of 171 homes were repaired island-wide under the home repair program. The government of St. Lucia's committed a further $500,000 for the continuation of this program, which I think St. Lucians are looking forward to very much. The quality of service and programs offered to older persons is of crucial importance to this ministry. To this end, the national policy for older persons is near completion and expected to be presented to Cabinet by the middle of this year. When implemented, the national policy will put in place various mechanisms to address the concerns of older persons, thereby enhancing their quality of life. The ministry has recognized that the provision of quality care for older persons is dependent on the availability of trained and qualified staff. We are sadly lacking some of them. Consequently, in February this year, the ministry supported two welfare officers from the division who pursued a short course in social gerontology in Malta. This training provided officers with valuable information on aging and related issues, some of which has not been known by us before, including the development of appropriate social policies promoting the welfare of older persons. The ministry will continue pursuing other training opportunities for staff so as to enhance their performance and ultimately the care of our older persons. Locally, the staff of senior citizen home have also benefited from extensive training in geriatric residential care. A new division of this training was the inclusion of reflexology, which will prove to be very useful to the residents of our homes for elder persons. The Ministry of Health has identified a new site at Powless near Beaufort for the relocation of the senior citizens' home. The home will be built at the cost of $12 million. Let's look at the welfare services. There are many persons in St. Lucia who are unable to support themselves due to financial and other social factors, including illness, domestic problems, abandonment, and disability, Mr. Speaker. The government of St. Lucia recognized the importance of providing welfare services and increased public assistance from $2.4 million last year to $3.2 million this year. The ministry was able to assist over 2,700 needy persons in terms of monthly allowances and other welfare services, including the purchase of glasses, spectacles, burials, rehabilitation, housing, etc., etc. We take a look at our gender situation, Mr. Speaker. The Division of Gender Relations is government's machinery charged with the responsibility of ensuring enhancement in the status of women and the promotion of gender equity and gender equality. Gender equity and equality are imperatives for the goal of social justice to which this government is committed. During the first financial year, there will be a deliberate and sustained effort to integrate a gender perspective into all national development policies, plans, and programs. St. Lucia acceded to the Convention of the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW, that was in 1982. This convention obligates countries to ensure the full development and advancement of women in all spheres. St. Lucia has been actively implementing the CEDAW Convention with efforts aimed at protecting women, modification of social and cultural patterns of conduct through the sensitization of the general public and agencies on the prevention of domestic violence, something rising rapidly in St. Lucia. St. Lucia submitted a combined report which will be presented to CEDAW at the 35th session of the committee on the elimination of discrimination against women. The issue of domestic violence continues to plague this society. Mr. Speaker, between the year 2000 and 2004, a total of 2,155 cases of domestic violence were reported, mainly against women, and in recent times we hear some against some men. These cases are only what was reported. However, we believe that the statistics are much higher, as many cases go unreported due to the sensitive nature of domestic abuse. I think most of us know what happens to a woman when she goes to report what has been done to her by her male. The Women's Support Shelter has received a total of 390 crisis calls between the year 2000 and 2005. And the shelter has accommodated over 90 total families during that period. We must never forget the gruesome crimes against women which were etched in our history. The government and the people of St. Lucia are committed to reducing and eventually eliminating, we hope, the problem of violence against women. The continued support from the government and private sector to the Women's Support Center is a major step in that regard. The Women's Support Center provides a temporary haven for women and their children who are fleeing from the life-threatening domestic violence situation, running from your own home to nowhere. At the center, a well-trained, caring, and competent staff offers client comfort in a safe environment and assists them to rebuild their whole lives. We must pay particular attention to human trafficking, Mr. Speaker. It is one of the world's fastest growing crimes. It is a very lucrative activity and can be equated to a form of modern day slavery. Until recently, trafficking in persons was not an issue with us here in St. Lucia. We were not in concern. However, events taking place in other Caribbean territories indicate to us that we need to prepare to deal with any such eventuality. It is almost on our doorstep, Mr. Speaker, and we must look carefully at what enters our house. In fact, our import trade in women seems brisker than our export trade, as our nightclubs cater for striptease dancers to please the addicts. The story is told of men coming from other islands like St. Croix to buy young girls for trading in sex acts, Mr. Speaker, believe it or not. Imagine the situation, Mr. Speaker, where a man from a bigger country visited a Caribbean island and took away a woman with the promise of marriage, only to extract the woman's two eyes to replace those of his blind son. And that woman was repatriated in a blind condition. Where is he? The plight of women is the plight of our nation. When our women suffer, the whole nation suffers. Domestic violence affects not only the women, but the ability of her children to be integrated into society. This gives rise to a cycle of abuse and violent behavior all over. The interventions by the ministry have been geared towards alleviating the sufferings of victims of domestic violence and reducing the cycle of abuse. Our achievements, Mr. Speaker, include the establishment of community response teams. The community response teams comprise civic-minded volunteers, people not paid, who are trained and equipped with skills necessary to make the initial intervention in situations of domestic violence in their community. Yes, it happens in almost every community in St. Lucia. Community response teams have been established in 6 communities in St. Lucia. Not that those are the worst, but we got the people we could use there. And those were Anslery, Canneries, Denry North, Denry South, Lapri, and Choiseul. Continued support for the victims of domestic violence through the availability of a safe house and counseling services at the Women's Support Shelter is on. Advocacy campaigns to raise awareness of the prevalence and negative effect on domestic violence is continuing. we look at the important section of substance abuse. Another area of serious concern is the increasing use of both legal and illegal substances among this population. In keeping with its mandate, the Secretariat has been able to make significant strides in implementing programs geared towards the reduction in the use of substances. Some of the achievements, Mr. Speaker, include the implementation of a drug and workplace program. This program is designed to increase awareness of the drug issue among employers and employees on this island. Ratification of the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. In keeping with the ratification, we recommend a campaign focusing on tobacco use. Yes, tobacco use. And promoting smoke-free environments. This campaign, dubbed the Breathe Easy campaign, is being executed in collaboration with the St. Lucia Cancer Society, who have quite a big job on their hands, Mr. Speaker. Improved partnership in the fight against drug control. We are at present partnering with a number of organizations to access both financial and technical resources to respond effectively to the issue of substance abuse. Some such organizations, Mr. Speaker, are the Canadian Center on Substance Abuse, the Caribbean Drug Abuse Research Institute, the Inter-American Drug Abuse Control Commission, CICD, the Organization of American States, the OAS, the Narcotic Affairs Section of the United States Embassy in Barbados, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, the Pan-American Health Organization. Completion of one research project to determine the level of drug abuse and drug education activities among our secondary school population. Very interesting, Mr. Speaker. Preliminary findings reveal that the drug most commonly used by our young persons are alcohol and marijuana. And we remember not too long ago, Mr. Speaker, when a bus carrying secondary school children interrupted on the Beaufort Road, a search was made and revealed quite a quantity of alcohol which the children were consuming. We must work to help that situation, Mr. Speaker. Let us take a look at the activities planned for 2006-2007. This year, in order to strengthen the quality of our social protection program in the Ministry of Health, we will conduct a situational analysis of children in residential care. It's not only our old people, our children are in residential care too. The division will critically examine the management of residential care of children on the island by understanding a situational analysis of all facilities providing such care. All homes where the children go to, we need to examine and find out how they care. At the conclusion of the analysis, the division will proceed to develop a regulatory framework through which procedures and standards can be established to guide this important service for children. It is necessary, Mr. Speaker, that all facilities providing residential care are licensed by government. Yes, we need to take it more seriously and don't allow them to do your own thing. We have to license them. We must have systems in place for monitoring and accountability of those homes where our children are. To expand the foster care and adoption recruit drive. At the moment, the division is faced with the challenge of finding places of safety for children. And it is in dire need of foster homes. And we appeal to persons who can provide foster homes to come to the ministry. Some foster carers have a significant role to play in helping children to heal after suffering traumatic experiences by offering them a safe and loving home environment, knowing that they have come from somewhere where they were not loved. You want to develop a...
honorable member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
No problem, Mr. Speaker. You want to develop a regulatory framework for residential care. There are a number of facilities providing residential care for older persons. However, they operate without any established guidelines and procedures. It is necessary to adopt a standardized approach to the delivery of residential care to ensure that residents receive the best possible care. Implementing a home-based care program for older persons. Yes, Mr. Speaker, there are many older persons who live alone and who have no relatives to provide care for them. I don't think we are aware of how many people are in such a condition. Some are bedridden. Others are unable to attend to their personal needs. The home-based care program is intended to address the needs of those affected persons by training individuals who will visit the homes and assist them with their day-to-day needs, including administering medication, performing house chores, do some cooking for them. Such a program would greatly enhance the quality of life of those persons, especially those who are suffering from aging-related illnesses. We will reactivate the Public Assistance Subcommittee. Mr. Speaker, this is a very ticklish section. The Public Assistance Act 1969 makes provision for the establishment of subcommittees to assist welfare officers in assessing applications for public assistance, a matter very often challenged by many persons. This division intends to reactivate the Public Assistance Subcommittees, many of which have been non-existent over the years, and maybe that's why complaints have been coming, as in conformity with our existing legislation. This will assist welfare officers in making better assessments and preclude public perception that welfare officers operate arbitrarily in approving applications and allow for greater transparency. Ultimately, it will ensure that the persons benefiting from the program are those who are most in need of help. Mr. Speaker, this year the division will also review the 1967 Public Assistance Act so that the legislation can be more reflective of social changes over the years and provide welfare officers with an extended mandate so as to enhance service delivery. Establish a new system for payment of public assistance, something very badly needed to improve that situation. The division will be establishing a new system for the payment of public assistance. The existing system is fraught with numerous challenges, including the uncertainty as to payment dates and the resulting frustration and inconvenience for the poor recipients, and also the safety of our own welfare officers who go out to the countryside to pay those people. The division is about to embark on a pilot exercise in selected areas over a three-month period whereby recipients will be paid at credit unions and banks on specific dates. If successful, the new system of payment will be introduced island-wide. This will greatly enhance the service delivered to clients at this present time. Further activities between 2006-2007 in our division of substance abuse again. We will complete a manual to guide drug education in St. Lucia, a very valuable and needed manual. We will conduct a public sector survey to determine the level of substance abuse in the workplace. We will establish a drug information network. Fortunately, Mr. Speaker, we find some offices now where you cannot smoke, and even some public places where you're asked not to smoke. I think this is a step in the right direction, Mr. Speaker. Let's take a look at our Division of Gender Relations. In there we will develop a campaign aimed at raising awareness about trafficking in persons, as I mentioned a while ago. We will develop a standard data collection protocol for domestic violence. We'll implement the gender mainstreaming program. Gender mainstreaming, as you may know, has been identified as an effective approach in the attainment of gender equity and equality in most aspects of development and across all sectors and programs. We want to ensure that social policies and legislation are adequate to meet the needs of the vulnerable population, mainly our women, children, and our elderly. Mr. Speaker, the unsurpassed miracle of the eye repair program in Cuba is total testimony of care for the elderly. Again, allowing persons who had almost given up on life, many had already closed their eyes and their minds on the advice of some doctors. They have given up on life, Mr. Speaker, until such great minds like those of Cuba's President Fidel Castro, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, and St. Lucia's Prime Minister, Dr. Kenny Anthony. They combine their minds, their mental powers, and their monies to give a second life to thousands who have given up on sight due to the financial burden it would cost them to repair their eyesight. We have full testimony of that, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the person who could have answered that has left. Even the excitement of travel to Cuba and other islands free of charge is a valuable rejuvenation of the recipient. The experience of genuine love and care which they encounter in Cuba, Mr. Speaker, is in fact a culture shock to St. Lucia, which will take them to the grave with total thoughts of appreciation for the lifestyle which we lack in St. Lucia and which they enjoy in Cuba. The task is now that of the children and the families to learn from their experiences and try to emulate this way of life, to reciprocate to their parents and their families who sacrificed so much to make life possible and happier for their younger ones. Totally missing in St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. There must be many relatives who just do not know what to do to improve the standard of life for their elders. Mission Milagro, the Cuban Eye Program, let's hear some statistics. The Cuban Eye Program commenced on August 25, 2005, with screening at 13 centers where screenings were held. You had Babylon, Leclerc, Antrepot, Montreport, Roosevelt, Denry, Miku, Beaufort, Labry, Choiseul, Soufrière, Canaries, Ancillary, Bexon, Castries City Hall, Castries Parish Center, Victoria Hospital, and the Ministry of Communications and Works. Total number of persons screened to date was 12,000 persons.
The Honourable Member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
Hold on, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. The total screened in 2005 were over 9,000 persons. The total number recommended for surgery was 1,973. The number of persons who have traveled to Cuba was 831. The number of persons who have traveled between 2006, just these 4 months of the year, 583. This figure is 527 patients and 56 companions. You need companions for people who are unable to take care of themselves. Because we have people over 80, 90 years old, so there's hope for some of us. There is one flight each week, mainly on Thursdays. The average number of persons per week is 40 persons. Post-surgery examinations, treatment and care started at Victoria Hospital in September 2005 and it continues to this date from Tuesday to Friday of each week. By posters, we mean the persons who have come back from Cuba. They need to continue doing the eye care. And therefore, you can go to the Victoria Hospital, as we say, from Tuesday to Friday, any day of the week. And I beg my fellow parliamentarians to even try to utilize this free gift. In order to complement the program, a new dimension has been added. A Cuban optometrist arrived on the island on April 13th this year with a quantity of specialized equipment to take care of the eyes. Over the next few months, he will be providing persons who have returned from Cuba with free spectacles, free glasses. The necessary prescription lenses will be put in for you. Prior to this initiative, several persons have been recipients of free eyeglasses from Cuba. Now you will get them in St. Lucia. In addition, others benefited by receiving other forms of specialized medical treatment, such as prostate surgery. Brothers and sisters, I know one man up there who was charged $7,000 here to do his prostate. And when he went to Cuba, he had it done free of charge. My ministry is thankful to Drs. Allegri, Rez, and Gonzalez, who have worked tirelessly through the program. They never even went home for Christmas holidays. They worked right through the program. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is a very, very valuable opportunity for St. Lucia. Since the new Cuban ambassador, His Excellency Hugo Cabrera, took over from ex-ambassador Victor Ramirez, he has woven himself and his family into the fabric of St. Lucian society like a maestro. He meets many people and he offers many services. Mr. Speaker, what a wonderful way our Governor General invaded the homes and hearts of our nation when she delivered the throne speech on Budget Day. All categories of listeners were compelled to absorb some of her sound advice to St. Lucia as she unfolded her thoughts, both in English and patois. The graphic picture painted of then and now should have sent many young men back in history to envy the natural, easy, and tainted way of life in St. Lucia at least 60 years ago. Ours was a journey into the past for the older ones, and the story of the possibility of an untraumatized life for the younger ones. After all, there are some young people who are experimenting with ways and means of enjoying themselves and protecting their lives at the same time. Many young persons now resort to the gentle country and western dances to experience conviviality without bloodshed. Can you imagine the scene where a mother begs for street lamp to be put by her yard to illuminate the dark passage to protect her daughters who work late and come home at late hours? She doesn't want them to be raped, Mr. Speaker. And when those lights are put up, her own son takes the stones off the ground and breaks the lamp on that same night that it is erected, so as to continue his illegal trade in the dark. Something unthought of 60 years ago. Abo D. Her Excellency the Governor General also works hand in hand with our Division of Human Services to recognize and celebrate the 100th birthday of all St. Lucians at Women St. Lucia. These centenarians are sorted out and celebrated as the human services officers contact the families and organize a 100th birthday party at which Her Excellency donates the gifts. Over the past year, five such persons were recognized. One, Frederick Serrie Roosevelt, Mary Laura Soufrier, Mary Isidore Schroeder, Henry the Bud Marion Home, Mary Leoti Leon of Soufrier again. These people were feted, Mr. Speaker. They were brought together with their family provided with drink, food, music, and a gift. What a way to treat our older people. Some of those events were celebrated in Marion Home, others at Adelaide Home, Green Barrow, and other family homes. Mr. Speaker, I recognize the time is almost up, so I will take a cursory view into my constituency.
Honourable member, you are offered extra time, you said, no?
Yes.
Your time is up.
I will now accept, Mr. Speaker. I only need 15 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to invoke 210 to allow the Honourable Member an additional 15 more minutes.
Honourable Members, the question is that section 3210 be invoked to enable the Honourable Member for Castries Central an extra 15 minutes. Castries South, sir. Castries South.
Central is absent.
To wind up his speech. Leave his gift to the Honourable Member for Castries South.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and other members of the House. Evident that I'm slowing down, Mr. Speaker. I thought I could make that race in the allotted time. But like other races, I think I need a little more time to complete. Mr. Speaker, this year turned out to be a busy one for me, with many excursions abroad to deal with the betterment of St. Lucia and South Castries. But that dislocation, Mr. Speaker, broke the rhythm of my daily trips to the constituency, and the murmurs started. Funny enough, Mr. Speaker, the complaints were like music to my ears. Me you pack out well bred there. And they can suit be no car well bred there. That statement indicates, Mr. Speaker, that the brother was missed. So let us now visit the constituency, Mr. Speaker. The road engineers for South Castries area face a great problem with the Bar St. Joseph Road erosion and the George Cooper Road threat that affected some minor projects in the area. In Cicerone, there was a $5,000 repair, in Marigold, a $10,000 repair, in Bar St. Joseph, a $25,500 repair. A road collapse at Marigold Terraces, similar to that of Sapion 2 years ago, caused much consternation among those residents. Persons like Mr. Hippolyte, Beauregard, Melanie Charles, Central Sudanese Cox and Central Maine petitioned the parliamentary secretary. Since those residents were on private lands, the Ministry of Communication and Works advised that the landlord becomes involved, even after the available life-saving assistance was given to avert the situation. Many residents of Marigold and surrounding areas have constantly applied to purchase house spots in the Lapel area, which has long been promised to them. However, the Ministry of Physical Development has been tardy in the decision to effect the sales. Thank you, Mr. Minister. I look forward to it shortly. The Community Development Officer has produced work programs for the area. For the period of 2006-07, the goals of which were to alleviate apathy and foster new ethos in the communities of South Castries. One such project was a $10,000 concrete path at Volvo City in Ticolot, Bar St. Joseph, which is nearing completion at this time. There was also the Bouillon Visual and First Performing Arts Festival held at Honeycomb in Ticolot. An HIV youth summer camp with full eye show Cicero and Marigold youth was effected. Two bus shelters built at Goodlands and Ridgeway, Latoc, with two more at Bannon and Ticolo would soon follow at a cost of $40,000. The topography, Mr. Speaker, of the Goodlands area has presented problems of physical development.
but efforts have been made to build an interior road. Surveys and markings were effected and some tractor work ended prematurely. However, to date, the necessary funds from BNTF and BRF have not materialized, but will be pursued vigorously. Plans to link the Basses Joseph to Marigold with the road that started in the year 1979, but that met with little success, and efforts are being made now to pursue it. A range of steps from the Lacramingo School to Basses Joseph is vitally important on the list, and we're hoping that the monies will be forthcoming. Other projects planned by the Development Committee for Basses Joseph are a community center, a multi-purpose court, a steel band orchestra, a playing field, and a bus shelter. Again, the topography in Basses Joseph makes it difficult for the playing field, but we are pursuing. Two Chinese projects in Marigot and Cicero quell the clamor for work coming from the constituents and the shouts of Odlum Kutawaila that has now died down considerably. The secondary school project being built in Marigot and also the Discovery Bay Hotel have provided ample jobs for the people of Marigot all the way to Sousse. The psychiatric hospital being built at Kubari has provided working opportunities not only for Fulasho, Latok, Woodlands and Cicero, but for workers island-wide. So some of you were right now saying you can't get work, resort to the psychiatric hospital because they are in need of workers. Basic amenities of electricity, water and telephones are fairly adequate, but the main problems are drugs and drug-related shootings in our area. We trust that the introduction of the British police to advise our police force will reduce that problem. In fact, I recently learned of a youth group who felt that the young killers today are glad to be at the Border Edge facility, where they are safe from the reprisal of the family and friends of the murdered ones. What a state of affairs. There are many requests from residents of Cicero for a police station to reduce the unsavory reputation now stand on the beautiful area of Cicero. Residents of Kubari have long been complaining about the conditions of the road, and this has been brought to the attention of the relevant ministry. Resulting from the landslip in Tapia last year, the long-awaited ring road was eventually constructed, but remains in an incomplete condition requiring culverts, retaining walls and metal grills, which have been brought to the attention of the authorities also. Another regular request from the Banan and Latok residents is for the restoration of the Latok-Banan road, starting from the top near the Oceanic restaurant, going down past the Cox building into the Badan area. This road, Mr. Speaker, was very, very valuable, mainly to the policemen who often had to fly up that road to intercept persons who were trying to make getaways. Today, it is not so easily passable, and the police has lost a few vehicles trying to use it. As much important is the steps to the Marigot Ring Road, Mr. Speaker, which received quite a few visits from officials of the relevant ministry, and even the Prime Minister is there to rise, but for many years the plans keep changing, but never materializing, much to the chagrin of the community. In conclusion, Mr. Speaker, I owe a debt of gratitude to my wife and my family, my Prime Minister and members of the staff and staff of the Parliament, my secretary and other staff of the Ministry of Health, the Division of Human Services, Family Affairs, Gender Relations and Substance Abuse, my constituency group, and my 32-year-old running family in South Castries. I must also thank the media, but especially Mr. W's DCT, St. Caribbean Television, for his special attention and interest in the achievement of my ministry's programs. I am reminded of a quote at this stage as I end, Mr. Speaker. Let those friends you have and their adoptions try, rattle them to your hearts with hoop of steel. Mr. Speaker, I totally support this appropriation bill, and I must report, Mr. Speaker, that my sartorial departure in this garb is not by choice, but that a ploy in this Parliament House by the technician who has no heart at all, he's just named heart, who turned up the air condition full terror, and I had to resort to jacket and tie. I think I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. God bless all of us.